We are at the fifth week of our journey of Lent. Holy Week begins next Sunday with Palm Sunday, and we begin that journey into God's story of reconciliation as well. But I want us to reflect for just a few moments on the journey that we've been on. This congregation has been a part of a journey looking at reconciliation for quite a while now, but we've chosen during this season of Lent to focus on the idea of reconciliation. So for 5 weeks, we have done all kinds of things, from preaching about it to taking trips into North Minneapolis and to learning about places and things that are happening in our city, to gathering together with the people of Holy Trinity for 3 Thursday evening gatherings around this topic of reconciliation and great conversation with one another, and probably more things than that I'm not remembering. So I'm just inviting you for a moment to reflect on these past few weeks and this journey that we've been on, and to look in your own thoughts and heart and wherever you see these things for moments where you've experienced or seen or in particular ways thought about reconciliation. And then for those of us awake enough on this daylight savings time morning and willing to share, are there 2 or 3 of you who'd be willing to share something you've seen in this 5 week journey that has been an experience for you of reconciliation or thought about that? Any brave souls this morning? No one's thought about or experienced reconciliation in the last 5. Aha! Turn to the choir when all else fails.
it's exceedingly difficult in some circumstances.
Yeah. She said it's exceedingly difficult to see reconciliation in some circumstances in these last 5 weeks. And I can relate to that just having watched some of the what do you call those when people get together, political rallies? It's sort of the opposite of reconciliation happening in our midst at this point. Well, I won't put any more pressure on you to share. That's fine. I have plenty to share with you for the moment anyway, so we'll jump immediately into that. But thank you. There is a text that we have been gathering around. Reverend Blair preached on it last week. It's the text that we gathered around in those 3 weeks of gathering on the Thursday evenings with the people from Holy Trinity. And it's that text of Paul's from Corinthians. The part that we've really focused on is all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So part of what we are focusing on today is what God has done for us in that reconciliation through Christ, and that is the journey that we walk. That's the story of Holy Week, right? God's reconciliation with us and Christ. But also, what does it mean for us to have this ministry of reconciliation? We've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and we will continue to. But today I want to focus on this in a couple of particular ways, drawing particularly on the text from Philippians today, continuing Paul's journey into this idea of reconciliation. But before I jump into that, I once heard this question. I don't remember where I heard it, but someone asked, if I become a Christian, will I have to give up the things I love? And the response was, if you become a Christian, God will change the things you love. If you become a Christian, God will change the things that you love. We see that change happen in Paul. As you look at that text from Philippians, you will see that Paul is claiming all kinds of righteousness for himself, right? He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Hebrew, a tribe of Benjamin. There's a long list. He was a Pharisee who knew all the law. He was a zealot who persecuted the church. Paul was a rock-solid, fundamentalist Jewish guy of his time, at the pinnacle of what it meant to be righteous in the eyes of the law. And then he says, having met Christ, he counts all that as loss. He counts all that as rubbish. Instead, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him. Before Paul knew Christ, he found his righteousness in his ability to live the law, to be the perfect guy of his time. After he found Christ, he found a new purpose, a new reason to live, and found new things to love. It was no longer about loving his own righteousness, about loving the law, about loving his zealousness and persecuting others who didn't love the same things that he did. Having met Christ, having become a Christian, even though he might not have called himself that, but walking in the way of Jesus, God changed the things that Paul loved. And Paul now was following a different path, one that invited him to do this, as it says in Philippians. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and he was talking about all of his own self-righteousness and his own virtues and things, leaving that all behind, straining toward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. God changed the things that Paul loved. And Paul forgot about those things that once he loved, strained towards those things that God was calling him to, and loved new things. So that's a part of our journey, perhaps, as well, in our own lives of faith, to not be so concerned about our own self-righteousness and how well we live, you know, how faithfully walk in the way of Jesus, but thinking instead about where God is calling us to walk to and what God is calling us to love on that journey, who God is calling us to love as we walk this path that Paul walked before us. There are a couple of questions I want us to think about. As we walk in this way of Jesus, how is God changing the things that we love? Now, many of you have been walking in this way all of your lives. Perhaps, like me, you were born into a Christian family and raised in the church, and you sort of feel like this is a sort of an ingrained part of who you are. But yet, even if that is true for you, God still calls us more deeply into love. And our sinful selves often allow us to find ourselves focusing more on loving ourselves than loving our neighbor, loving ourselves and even our own righteousness more than loving those who God calls us to love. So it's always a challenge for me, at least, and I'm assuming for a few others in this room, to actually love that which God is calling us to love. So what does this have to do about reconciliation then, since that's the theme for our season of Lent? Well, first of all, Holy Week is a journey into God's story of reconciliation. First, we need to acknowledge that God is reconciling God's self to us. That's what Holy Week is about. From Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem knowing that what he is facing is death, even though the people who are cheering and waving palms don't know that, he comes to this Maundy Thursday when he tells us that we are called to love one another as God has loved us. And he shares this Eucharistic meal with his friends and his disciples. And then on Good Friday, of course, he is killed on a cross, which is God's act of reconciliation, this act of sacrifice, this act of giving on Christ's behalf. It's for the sake of God's reconciling God's self to us. That's why it happens. And that's what Paul talks about in the text from last week and in the text from this week as well. God is reconciling God's self to us. And that reconciliation gets punctuated by Easter as God raises Christ from death. This resurrection of new life that is then a gift for us as well. It's this journey through Holy Week by which God reconciles God's self to us and all of creation. And it's our acknowledgement and understanding of that reconciliation that then calls us into the world to be about what God has called us to in reconciling all of creation to God and to one another. So don't miss that journey. It starts next Sunday here, and we will walk through that day by day. But then there's this other piece in Paul that says he leaves everything behind, forgetting what went before. He strains toward what is coming, and he presses on towards the goal. And I thought about that journey also in terms of reconciliation. What does it mean in terms of our journeys of reconciliation with people of different color and different cultures and different backgrounds and different financial situations, all of those things? What does it mean for our journey of reconciliation with them and one another if we forget the things that went before? And we strain towards what God is calling us to what is coming. And we press on towards that goal to which God is calling us to press into. What does that mean if you look at our journey of reconciliation? Well, a couple things. First of all, for those of us who are the oppressors in this stuff, for those of us who enjoy white privilege and have enjoyed that for centuries in this country, perhaps we can forget about what has gone before and, like Paul, let go of all that privilege and all of that self-righteousness that Paul had to let go of in order to follow Jesus. And for us to move into reconciliation with all peoples. Some folks are going to have to forget some things. But we can't ask those who are currently being oppressed to just forget about it. We can't say, yeah, you've been oppressed, you've been beaten down for centuries, you have not enjoyed equal opportunity in this country, you have not enjoyed the privilege that your white brothers and sisters have enjoyed, but just forget about it. You know, leave that behind, strain on towards the goal. No, it doesn't work. So, if we're going to make this little thing of Paul here, the forgetting what went before, straining on towards what is coming, and pressing on towards the goal, we have to start at the other end of that process. We have to start with, what is the goal that God is calling us to press on towards? What is this coming kingdom of God? What is God's preferred future? What is God's preferred present that we are striving towards together? And how can we, through listening and all the things that we've talked about in this season of Lent, come together around this common vision of God for what God is calling us to? So that might be the first step, is for us to find together with our brothers and sisters, whoever they might be, what it is that we are striving to accomplish, to reach together. And then having figured out what it is that God is calling us to, then we strain towards that future, towards that goal. And that means somehow walking together, coming together and moving towards that goal with one another in whatever ways we can find to do that. In our families, in our homes, in our jobs, in our play, in our churches, in our communities, coming together and straining towards this goal to which God is calling us. And then once we've walked far enough down that road together, then maybe we'll be able to look back and forget what came before. That's when we get to forget. Or not. But we'll be far enough down that road together that what went before will be what is guiding us and shaping us and creating our present. It is what God is calling us to in this future that will be determining what our present moment is. And I pray that there will be a time when we'll be able to look back and forget what went before. But we're not there yet. We get to practice this vision here and now. Part of straining towards what is coming is just being the church. Being in this place, sharing peace with one another that then needs to be shared throughout the world. As you gather today and share peace, I want you to look at the hands of the people you're shaking. Different colors, different ages. This is a foretaste, as the church is supposed to be, of what God is calling us to be. Sharing peace, praying for the well-being of one another, sharing in that well-being with one another. That's a step. That's a part of what we practice here. Another piece is the Eucharist. We will gather around a table today that is open to everyone. And everyone who comes to this table comes on an equal basis with one another. We are all simply children of God, called to receive God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's grace and to be fed by this heavenly food and then sent into the world for the sake of that reconciliation, that all people may also gather at tables and feast with one another. This is what we practice as we gather here. We practice reconciliation. We experience reconciliation with God, and we practice what it means to be reconciled with one another for the sake of being reconciled with all of God's creation. So we be church. If we become Christian, will we have to give up the things we love? Yeah, there are some things we're going to have to give up if we're going to be reconciled with God and with one another. We're going to have to give up some of our white privilege. We're going to have to give up some of the negative thoughts we have about one another in this world. We're going to have to give up our quests for power at the expense of others. There are lots of things we're going to have to give up. But those aren't the things that we should be loving. As we become Christian, if we're going to walk in the way of Jesus, God is going to invite us to love something other than that. For the sake of what God's imagined for our future with one another. And even more than the future, for the sake of what God imagines for our present with one another. If we are Christians, God will change the things we love. And as we seek to be reconciled with God and one another, let us love as God has loved us. Amen.